marriage, but she didn't have to. Sweet and sad, it was an elegy of some sort, a song to mourn the fallen, a song that had likely existed since before Calicos was born, perhaps before the Aspects had even been created. For as certain as there was always a new day dawning, that new day would eventually die in the West. Nothing was older than death, save life. Calic's voice was as beautiful as the rest of him, and the song wound its way into her soul, quieting it. She felt his lips press against her white hair. The kiss was loving, yet gentle, a gesture of comfort that asked for nothing in return. Even so, and even in this tragic place, Jaina felt her heart stir. After what had seemed like an eternity, when it had lain hard and cold, a sullen diamond in her chest, it was awakening. Now, like a seed in springtime, it was struggling toward light and warmth through the ice of winter. Held safely and sweetly, Jaina thought of the last conversation she and Thrall had had as friends. "Did you need healing?" Jaina had asked.
"We all do, whether we see it or not," Thrall had replied. "We bear the wounds of simply living in this life, even if we never have a physical scar. A mate who can see one for who one is, truly and completely. Ah, that is a gift, Jaina Proudmore. Whatever journey you are on, whatever your path may lead to, I, at least, have found it to be sweeter by far with a life companion at my side."
Calic had helped her to heal from more than just the wounds of simply living this life. He had seen her at her best and at her worst, had enabled her to find her true self when she was lost in a maze of anguish and fury. Would he become her life companion as Agra had become Thrall's? There was no way to know for certain. One thing Jaina knew now, nothing was for certain. The winds of change would blow as they willed. But for now, she was content. She drew back and looked up at him. He gazed down at her, one hand brushing back the single lock of golden hair that yet remained. "Ronan," Jaina said. He nodded. As they drew apart, Jaina felt cold as air moved between them, but Calic's hand in hers was warm. They walked slowly, reverently, toward the crater. Jaina winced as she recalled the Archmage's last moments, his shoving her through the portal, the tower tumbling, the purple ash that the wind had doubtless swiftly snatched away to blow to the four corners of Azeroth.
"It was not in vain," Calic said, reminding Jaina. "Had the bomb not been at least somewhat offset by the magic of the tower, the effect would have been much worse."
"He wanted to save Verisa," Jaina said. "He wanted her to live. He wanted his children to have their mother, even if they couldn't have their..." She couldn't speak the rest of the words for a moment, then said, "He came because I asked him to." She turned to face Calicos. "I was struggling so very hard, just a short time ago. I felt so out of place, trying to push for peace when no one else seemed to care about it."
"Do you still care?" Calic asked.
She thought about it for a moment, tilting her head to the side, her brow furrowing. "It isn't that I no longer care. I do. I'm not what I was. I don't burn for vengeance anymore. But neither am I the woman who longed so much for harmony between the Horde and the Alliance. There can't be harmony, Calic. Not while Garrosh leads the Horde. Not after what he has done. I don't believe peace is the answer anymore. Which means, I don't know where I belong." He quirked an eyebrow.
"I think you might, actually."
Jaina gave him a quizzical look, and then realized that he was right. She wanted to go home. Home, to a place that had once been a nourishing sanctuary, one she had left reluctantly to follow her destiny. Jaina recalled what Calic had said about there being a rhythm and a pattern to things. Perhaps she had come full circle. "Dalaran," she said. The Kirin Tor. I did train very diligently, once upon a time. It feels right for me to be there now, in a way it never has before. She looked again at the rubble. Ronan thought so. He made sure I survived. He told me that he thought I was the future of the Kirin Tor. I should at least give them the chance to politely tell me to go away. You have become extremely powerful in your own right, without them, Kallik said. I think they would be lucky to have you, and I believe they would consider themselves so as well. Ronan could not have been alone in his sentiments. And you, Kallik? She braced herself for his announcement that he would leave her, return to the Nexus. He was, after all, the leader of the Blue Dragonflight. There was no place there for a member of the younger races.
I think, if you have no objection, that I would like to accompany you to Dalaran.
She couldn't hide her pleasure, and he smiled to see it, his eyes warm with affection.
I take it you don't?
No, I would like that very much. But what about the Blues? His smile faded.
The flight has dispersed, he said. We are all individuals now. I feel that we have a great debt to pay the Kirin Tor for all that our poor stewardship has done to the world. I'd like to be the one to at least start repaying that debt.
He gave her a lopsided grin.
They already permitted one dragon membership in their ranks, even though many didn't know exactly who Crassus was. Do you think I stand a chance? He asked.
Then he added, his voice unsure.
With them and with you?
Change, Jaina thought. It brings pain. It brings joy. And it is completely inescapable. We are, all of us, our own phoenixes, if we choose to be. Out of the ashes, we can be reborn. She stepped forward and lifted her face for answer. With a gentleness that did not surprise her, and an intensity that did, Kallikos of the Blue Dragonflight cupped her cheeks in his warm hands, searched her eyes, then leaned forward and kissed Lady Jaina Proudmoore, Mage. Epilogue. When Jaina and Kallikos arrived in Dalaran and requested an audience with the Council, she fully expected to be turned away or given a date in the future. Instead, the mage who greeted them assured Jaina and Kallik that the Council would see them. At once. A very few moments later, Jaina and Kallik found themselves in the ever-changing, beautiful chamber of the air. Kallik could not help but glance around, marveling at the sights.
The Council welcomes Kallikos of the Blue Dragonflight and Lady Jaina Proudmoore, said Khadgar,
his voice aged and yet strong.
The world has wagged on since we last saw you here, Lady. Why do you and your friend come to see us this day?
For many reasons, Jaina said. First, I owe you all an apology. This does not belong to me. She held out the tome that had enabled her to make use of the focusing iris. I took it without... She shook her head. No, I won't mince words. I stole it, and I forced open the seal in order to utilize a dreadful weapon against my enemy.
You did not use the weapon, though, did you? Asked Khadgar. For unless my news sources have become uncharacteristically derelict in their duties, Orgrimmar still stands, with a shamed Garrosh Hellscream sulking in Grommish Hold.
I did not use it against Orgrimmar. That much is true, Jaina said. I was brought to my senses by Kallikos and by Thrall, but I did use it to defend the Alliance fleet. I now return the book to you, and I have returned the focusing iris to Kallikos.
And I, said Kallik unexpectedly, would like to donate the focusing iris to the Kirin Tor.
A murmur went around the room. Even Jaina was startled. Kallik, That has ever been the treasure of the Blue Dragonflight.
Which is scattered now, Kallik said, and no one is left to protect this treasure. We failed to keep it safe, to my shame, and I do not deem myself a fit guardian. Please, will you take it? I know there are many valuable artifacts in Dalaran. I can think of no safer place for it.
Madara stepped forward and accepted both the stolen book and the focusing iris, bowing slightly to Kallikos. Your concern is for the safety of others before your own ego, Kallikos. This is duly noted. Carlane drew himself up to his full height and regarded Jaina with folded arms.
Lady Jaina Proudmore, he said, you did not come here to simply return a book.
No, she said. I humbly request permission to become a novice member of the Kirin Tor. The council had to have been surprised after she had stayed away for so many years, but they did not appear so. Khadgar gestured, and the other four approached him. They spoke in soft whispers. Jaina turned away politely, to give them as much privacy as possible. Kallik reached for her hand.
I'd tell you not to worry, but that wouldn't do much good, he said.
She smiled a little, then said, I'm not sure what I'll do with myself if they refuse me. Even though I stopped short of destroying Orgrimmar, and I am glad that I did, I still believe Garrosh needs to be removed as war chief. That's not exactly neutral.
You're skilled and intelligent and great of heart, Jaina, Kallik said gently. There will always be a place for such as you. Lady Proudmore?
The voice belonged to Khadgar, and Jaina turned, her heart racing.
We must deny your request to be a novice member of our august body.
Jaina felt a sharp stab of disappointment, keener than even she had expected. I understand, she said quietly. My actions cannot be excused. Khadgar went on.
They can, however, be atoned for, and you can't very well be a novice member of the Kirin Tor if you are its leader, now can you?
What? The word burst from her in a startled yelp, more suited to the girl she had once been than the woman she now was.
But I've not even...
Words failed her, and she stared at him, mute.
Ronan sacrificed his life to save you, Lady Jaina. He told you that you were the future of the Kirin Tor.
She nodded.
Which made no sense to me. I haven't even been a member.
It made no sense to us, either, when he kept pressing the point, said Madara. But Varisa found a box in his desk that contained several scrolls of prophecy, given to him by none other than Coriolstras himself.
Jaina and Kallik looked at each other. And I was mentioned in one of them?
Not by name, said Khadgar.
He withdrew a scroll from his pocket and handed it to Jaina.
Read it aloud, please.
Jaina took the scroll with hands that trembled and read in an unsteady voice.
After the red comes the silver, she who is golden and bright. The proud lady, humbled and bitter, shall now turn her thoughts to the fight. Sapphire to diamond she gleams now, the Kirin Tor leader who comes. Queen of a kingdom now fallen, marching to war's martial drums. Be ye warned, the tides of war at last shall break upon the shore.
It fit. After Ronan came Lady Jaina Proudmore, whose gold hair had turned silver and whose sapphire eyes had, for a time, gleamed white like a diamond. She had indeed been humbled and bitter, and still, in her own way, had a martial stance. She looked up at Khadgar, stunned.
But to choose me just based on this?
Not just on this. You've always been strong, my lady, in your power and in your character, said Aethys Sunreaver unexpectedly. Even when tested and tried, and when you faced both an unimaginable horror and an inconceivable temptation, and were perhaps yourself tainted by the effects of the mana bomb, you still chose a path that was fair and just, rather than vengeful and dark. It is, you must admit, unlikely that anything else will ever tempt you so again. And I do not think there stands among us anyone who, were he or she in your place, could have done better. Indeed, we might not have done even half so well.
You misunderstand, she said. I needed help to not become something terrible. I could not have done it without Calicos.
Well, then, said Khadgar, turning to the blue dragon.
We'd best make sure he stays close to your side. You've already shown us your mind with regard to the focusing iris, and the care you believe we would take of it. Would you like to become a member of the Kirin Tor yourself, Calicos? It sounds as if Archmage Proudmoore could benefit from your presence, provided, of course, she accepts our offer.
And just that quickly, the Kirin Tor had a second dragon among its membership, and a still-reeling Jaina Proudmoore as its leader. As soon as the investiture had been completed, the new Archmage and leader of the Kirin Tor had returned to Theramore. Varian had been true to his word, sending a ship from Northwatch to respectfully gather the fallen bodies and even the purple sand. Outside the city limits there was now a mass grave, shocking and solemn in its size. It had been difficult for Jaina, but not as hard as she had feared. She had said her farewells earlier, standing with Calicos. Now she presided over another ceremony she wished with all her heart did not have to occur. It was a lovely sunset in Dalaran, the sky full of color, yet transitioning to darkness, a poignant echo to the sorrowful nature of the ritual. Today, they were saying farewell to Ronan. His children were there, one on each side of their mother, identical twin boys, with their father's flame-red hair and their mother's eyes and slender build. Jaina had learned that they recently celebrated their birthday. She was glad that at least Ronan had lived long enough to share that with them. Girimar, the elder by a few moments, seemed a bit more stoic than his brother, Galadin, whose lower lip quivered, though both pairs of half-elven eyes glittered with unshed tears. While both wore ornate robes for such a formal occasion, they did not match. Girimar's robe was indigo with silver trim, while Galadin had chosen dark green and gold. Their mother wore not her familiar armor, but a gown. Some were surprised to see that the garb was not black, nor even very conservative. Varisa Windrunner was a proud and beautiful woman, and her marriage to the hot-tempered but good-natured Archmage had been full of passion and devotion. It was his vibrant life she now chose to celebrate, not the ending of it, and so she was clad in a flowing red dress, more appropriate to a ballroom than a funeral. Her eyes were dry. Varisa had already done her mourning. Jaina's heart both ached for her and swelled with admiration. Ronan's sons, though lacking a father, had a mother who would raise them well. So many had gathered at the Violet Citadel. Jaina suspected that nearly every member of the Kirin Tor who could be present had come. And why should they not? Ronan deserved it. Not all that long ago, Jaina said. The Kirin Tor took a bold step in selecting Ronan to be its leader. He was unorthodox and outspoken, impetuous and stubborn. He had a tremendous sense of humor and great love of friends and family. She smiled a little at the twins, who sniffled slightly, but who both shakily returned the gesture. Addressing the other members of the Council of Six, she said, "He took Dalaran in a new direction and led the Kirin Tor through a war with the very aspect who had been chosen to guide and monitor magic. He died as he had lived, protecting and helping others." Her own voice threatened to give out, and she paused, collecting herself. "As his final act, he forced me through a portal, saving my life, even as he sacrificed his. He believed that I would be the future of the Kirin Tor. And because you agreed with him, here I stand. I can only succeed him. I can never replace him.
She looked out over the sea of purple robes, her heart hurting a little more as she saw the spark shines.
The winds of change blow fiercely. Azeroth is on the brink of war. The Kirin Tor can be the calm eye of the hurricane, if we choose to be. We can speak reason when the rest of the world is going mad. We can remember that we have skills and knowledge, but so do others. I have at last come home, to Dalaran, though my path here has been a strange and winding one. Long have I been away, and I am glad to come back, bringing all I have learned, through love and through pain. And while I deeply regret some of my recent behavior, I do not regret who I have become because of it. I will lead you as best I may. It is time to bring the floating city down to the earth. I will do so with guidance, because I will ask your advice. I will do so with honor, because I will hold myself to the standard set by Ronan. I will do these things, but I will continue to believe, as I know many here do, that this world cannot be safe with Garrosh Hellscream as the leader of the Horde. And how all these duties and beliefs will reconcile, I know not, but I have faith that they will. She thought of the prophecy and smiled a little. Someone very wise seemed to think they would. She lifted her arms to the sky. There were not even ashes to scatter, my friend, but your spirit lives on, in the heart of your courageous wife, in the eyes of your beautiful sons, and in the wisdom of the Kirin Tor. Jaina began to move her fingers in a weaving motion. Beside her, the other members of the Council of Six and Kalikos did likewise, as did all the Magi assembled. Jaina thought of a conversation she had had with Kalik, so long ago it seemed now, and again smiled slightly as a small, pale lavender ball of arcane energy formed in her hand. There is a rhythm, a cycle. There is a pattern. She drew her fingers through the globe of arcane magic. It fragmented and reformed, a whirl of signs and symbols and numbers. All things change, whether from the inside out or the outside in. That is what magic is, and we are magic too. She lifted her palm and sent the small orb floating upward. It was joined by dozens of its fellows, and then hundreds, as even those denizens of Dalaran, who were unable to find space at the ceremony, were still able to join in this gesture of farewell. The lights continued to rise, like fireflies of lavender magic against the deepening twilight, and despite everything, despite the tragedy of Theramore and the disaster she'd almost been responsible for, despite the sorrow of losing Ronan, Jaina felt her own heart lift with them. All things change, she thought. I, Thrall, Garrosh, Varian, Azeroth. A warm hand clasped hers, and she smiled up at Kalikos. She was more than ready for the changes that awaited her.
Tink, 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 hiss.
A dwarf stood naked to the waist, firelight glinting off his sweaty torso, as he worked at the great forge of Ironforge. The forge had always burned, but it had seldom been utilized as it was now. There was no daytime or nighttime underground, and there was no cessation of the work to be done. War was in the wind, and the alliance had to be prepared. The dwarf set aside the completed weapon, then placed his hands on his lower back as he stretched, wincing as he heard things pop and creak. He reached for a waterskin, wiped his red beard, and continued. In Stormwind, they were building new ships. With each one, the designers refined the task of construction more and more, turning out crafts faster and faster. And Light knew they would be needed. While Garrosh had blinked, he could not be counted on to do so a second time. The Horde fleet was still intact, although it had retreated. The Alliance could not say the same thing. Varian stood near the harbor for a long moment, watching the activity, then returned to the keep. He had a war to plan. Garrosh paced in Grommish Hold. The orders were already being posted. "Attention, all able-bodied members of the Horde. War Chief Garrosh Hellscream has issued a call to arms for all citizens, male and female adults. You will train to fight the Alliance in a war in which we shall be triumphant. Children and others who cannot bear arms, you will assist in crafting weapons and tending to the needs of the warriors. Anyone found shirking his or her duty will be arrested for treason by the Corcoran. No exceptions. For the Horde." The activity that had been afoot in Orgrimmar over the last several months had increased a thousandfold. Fires burned at all hours of the day and night, and the Corcoran were rounding up conscripts. Garrosh Hellscream stood alone in Grommish Hold. He stared down at a map of the Eastern Kingdoms spread on one of the tables, illuminated by the gleam of candlelight. He played idly with a dagger, thumbing its tip. His eyes flickered over the letters, Stormwind. Then he lifted the blade high over his head and brought it down nearly to the hilt in the middle of the M. "I will watch your city burn around you, Varian Wynn," he muttered. He grinned around his tusks. "After all, there can only be one victor in this war." The battle rages on. Tides of War marks the beginning of a dark era in Azeroth's history. Worldwide conflict between the Horde and the Alliance threatens to destroy what little stability remains. Having just recovered from the Cataclysm, does either faction possess the strength and resolve to survive more turmoil? The answer may be on Pandaria, a mysterious island shrouded in mist for thousands of years, until now. In World of Warcraft's fourth expansion, Mists of Pandaria, you can be one of the first Horde or Alliance heroes to forge into the heart of this exotic region, gathering new allies and battling ferocious enemies. You can also play as a noble Pandaren, WoW's latest race, and join the Horde or the Alliance, depending on which faction aligns more with your ideals. Regardless of the side you choose, your adventures will have impact on Azeroth's destiny. Ancient evils are on the rise across the Enchanted Isle of Pandaria, threatening to engulf the world in darkness unless you stop them. To discover the ever-expanding realm that has entertained millions around the globe, go to worldofwarcraft.com and download the free trial version. Live the story.
Jaina Proudmoore, Tides of War, was written by Christy Golden and read by Justine Eyre. It was recorded by Mark De La Fuente at North Hollywood Sound, with post-production by Frog Pond Productions. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. The post-producer was Rick Bradley. Jaina Proudmoore, Tides of War, was directed by Cameron Dayton. The supervising producer was Christina Zarafanidis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. World of Warcraft, Jaina Proudmoore, Tides of War is available in hardcover from Gallery Books. Also from Simon & Schuster Audio, World of Warcraft, Wolfheart by Richard A. Knack, read by Scott Brick.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.